Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. For many say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. So how can we interpret that? Very concrete way is that all of us should have a great love for the Bible. Great love for the Bible. I like short definitions because, as a whole, people today have somewhat of a lazy memory because of the internet. You know? So I like the definition of the Bible as this. Why not? It's the Word of God. And that we can memorize easily, right? So if someone asks you, what is the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God. First Sunday of Lent, the Gospel is Jesus in the desert. He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil tempts him. The Gospel of Matthew, we've got three of the temptations. What was the first? You don't remember, okay? It's when he says to Jesus, why didn't you turn these stones into bread? What did Jesus say? Man does not live on, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Jesus were here yesterday, Jesus would say, man does not live on turkey alone, right? But on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. What's more noble in the human person, his mind or his stomach? Well, yesterday we probably said our stomach, right? Okay, a little bit of philosophy. Everything has a purpose and an end. What's the purpose of the stomach? It's to digest food to give us energy so that we can work, right? So the purpose of the stomach is to digest. How about the purpose of the mind? Purpose of mind, a little bit of philosophy, is to absorb the truth. That's the purpose of the mind, to absorb the truth. And the truth is Jesus, the Word of God, the Logos. That's the purpose of the mind, to absorb the truth. And he says, the truth will set you free. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, many years ago, when most people could not read and write, this would be before the invention of the printing press, they would have the Benedictine monks would basically be copying scrolls. They would be in their cells and they would be copying parts of the Bible, most of it in Latin. And the most highly educated people would be the monks, the Benedictine monks. And some of the monks couldn't read and write. They'd be working the fields, farming work, husbandry. So what would happen was the abbot would bring the monks together, especially those who couldn't read, and he would read a passage from the Bible, and all of them would be standing and listening. And maybe be reading for 3 to 5 minutes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are the pure of heart. Maybe read Matthew 5, 1 to 12. It should be the Beatitudes. Then he'd read it again. He'd read it a third time. And the monks, they'd be listening. And what happens was they would get up after listening to maybe 2 or 3 times, maybe 4 times, and the superior would be reading it maybe 10 times. Then after listening, they would go out to the fields. This is before radio, before television, before the bombardment of noises. And they'd be out in the fields working for hours, and they'd be repeating that word of God over and over and over again, such that the word of God became part of them. Isn't that beautiful? Hello? So all day they'd be meditating when they'd be planting the corn, cultivating the fields, they'd be meditating over and over again the Word of God, such that the Word of God, that became part of them. That was their rule of life. I think we should learn from their example. Now, I don't have to read for you that gospel. I don't have to read that 10 times for you. You can read it yourself. You heard it. And I would wager to say that all of you people, all of you know how to read, right? I hope you do. And I think, not only that, I think all of you even have a Bible, don't you? You know where to get one, right? Problem is, you have a Bible, but do you know where your Bible is? That's the big question. Is it underneath your bed, or is it in your garage, or... Hopefully not underneath a beer mug. I hope not. Adrian Rogers says, he who has a Bible that's falling apart will probably not have his life falling apart. Amen? I like that. He who has his Bible falling apart will probably not have his life falling apart. Why? Because if we read the Bible and we meditate upon it, it's going to help us to live good lives. So what about the Bible? Make sure that you have a Catholic Bible, not a Protestant Bible, okay? Do you know the difference? They have 66 books, we've got 73, so make sure you have a Catholic Bible. You might say, well, what version? Well, there's a lot of translations. Probably the best translation is the Jerusalem Bible, okay? Translated from the French school, probably the most, because what happens is if you read in English or Tagalog, whatever language you read in, You're reading really a Bible. If it's in English, it's a translation from what? It's translated really from the Latin, from the Aramaic and the Greek. Because the original language is not English, nor Tagalog, nor Spanish, no? The original language is Greek and Aramaic. So the New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament in Aramaic, in the Jewish language. And then who translated into English was a man named Saint Jerome. Okay? Saint Jerome translated it about 1700 years ago in what is called the Vulgate into the vernacular. So the Jerusalem Bible is probably the best, but if you have the New American Bible, pretty good translation. You read Spanish, and the Spanish, the one that the Hispanics have here, is a very bad translation that you probably have, okay? Biblica Medica Latina. I would suggest that you get the New Jerusalem Bible, the Navarro translation in Spanish, or the one I learned my Spanish, and Pueblo de Dios in Argentina. I love that. Very good translation. So, being an English major, I like languages, so that's kind of mi vicio, as they say in Spanish. It's a good language. If you're going to get someone, you're reading Dante, make sure, maybe get Dorothy Sayers or Estolon if you read the Divine Comedy. Okay? So it's good to have a good translation of the Bible. But if you have a good translation and never read it, it doesn't matter the translation because you're not reading it. Okay? So read the Bible. And then it's a good idea to have a good commentary. Let me give you an example. Did you ever read the Acts of the Apostles? Not yet? Okay, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read it always in the Easter season, if you go to Mass during the Easter season. Do you remember that guy? He was coming from Ethiopia. Remember that guy? The eunuch of Candace, who was had a key position in the treasury of the Ethiopians. Remember what he was doing? He was making a pilgrimage from Ethiopia to where? To Jerusalem. And he was on pilgrimage. And when he was going back, he was in his chariot with horses. It's a beautiful passage. What was he doing? You remember? He was reading the Bible. He was not reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because that had not been published yet. He was reading the prophet Isaiah called the Suffering Servant. And he's reading, and Philip, not the apostle, but the deacon, very open to God. Read Acts chapter 8 and 9. Very open to God. The Holy Spirit said, go follow that guy in the chariot. And Philip ran after him. So Philip, you imagine him, he's running right next to the chariot of the horses. Maybe it was in those Greek Olympics back in the 2000 years. He's probably a pretty good runner, a long distance runner. Okay? Like cross country. He runs up, and it's a charming scene. He's running up next, and he said, what are you doing? And the Ethiopian man says, I'm reading the Bible. Who are you reading? Isaiah. And then Philip says, well, do you understand what you're reading? What does he say? How can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? So that's one of the reasons why we come to Mass, so that we can have the priest help us to understand the Bible. Face it, you lay people have a great hunger and thirst for God, but there are certain biblical passages that you're not going to understand. So you have to have an authoritative source to explain it to you. So the Ethiopian says, how can I understand if no one explains it to me? And then Philip says, well, would you like me to explain? Come on. So the guy jumps up. Philip jumps up and he's sitting next to this Ethiopian. The horses are dragging the chariot. And Philip just launches in to an explanation of the Word of God. He's given an excellent catechesis. He's explaining how this man in the Old Testament that they were talking about was Jesus. Then he talks about salvation. He talks about the Old Testament, all applying it to Jesus. And then he talks about baptism. And he talks about baptism by water. And the Ethiopian says, hey, look, there's some water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? So Philip says, you want to be baptized? Yeah! So they get out of the chariot, and Philip says to him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He becomes the first Ethiopian Catholic. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit grabs Philip, snatches him, and tells Philip to go to preach another place. And that Ethiopian is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Blessed Trinity. He's filled with joy. And he goes to Ethiopia and he tells the king and the people of Ethiopia the newly discovered faith that was given to him through the preaching of Philip the deacon. But Philip the deacon had to know the Word of God. He had to love the Word of God. He had to live the Word of God. So this is one of the most beautiful messages related to the gospel, the person of Philip the deacon. Philip the deacon, he obviously meditated upon the Old Testament. Philip knew the Word of God. He loved the Word of God, but he couldn't keep the Word of God to himself. So if you really want to grow in your faith, I hope you do. You want to grow in your faith, meditate upon the Word of God. Like the Blessed Mother who meditated upon the Word of God in her heart. Meditate, ponder the Word of God. Live out the Word of God. But one of the best ways to grow in your faith is to share the Word of God with others. So that's the message today. We're all called to go deep into the Word of God, to meditate it in our minds, our hearts, and to share the Word of God to the world that is so much in darkness. Amen.